too much traffic coming down, so I have to just kind of wait, you know. So well, that's great. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thanks for being here. We had a great breakfast yesterday, Saturday morning. Pastor Troy Johnson came and just spoke to us and in the morning from Jewel Lake Church. That was just amazing. It was such a blessing to kind of have him there and just had a great time. There is a breakfast, which is kind of leftover, lots of pancakes and stuff like that, which is there. I would encourage you to kind of hold on during the church service, but you can, after the church service, we can probably do that. And so that's, you know, that's there for you to kind of, somebody said I should announce that it's only for people who attended Saturday morning, but let's not do that. It's for everybody. We are going to have two baptisms today after we finished our sermon. So just hang around. It's going to be a great time to celebrate the changed lives, and you know, it's just amazing. So we are going to do that. I just want to kind of a little bit focus on, before we start, Valley Schools for Jesus, right? It's an Instagram page, and I just want to kind of explain this a little bit better. The kids, you know, have the kids in our church who go to schools have just put this thing together. The idea is really to gather all the people, all the students who are in the different schools who have faith in Jesus Christ to come together and worship and pray and cry out to God that how they can be an overflow of their faith in the schools. So there are lots of kids who are hurting, who are lost, who are looking for the true relationship with true God. And so how can they be an instrument in different schools? And so that is what it is all about. So this is for kids of faith coming together to pray and worship so that they can go and overflow in our schools, that you know they can be a great witness of Jesus Christ. So that is what it is all about. So pray for this. It is all led by the school kids and from our church and other churches too. And so let's pray, give them, you know, that God will just kind of give them direction to do this. It's amazing. Let's praise God for that. So coming back to the Word of God today, we just want to continue our series. This is the third sermons in the series, God Can Heal Our Pain. You know, life, when we are living in this world, which we all are, and as we live our life, you know, life hurts. There are so many things that happen in life. That's the reality of life. There are lots of pain and hurt that happens in life for a variety of reasons. But God is an amazing God who died for us on the cross, and God's desire for us is to come around us and bring healing to us. And that is his desire for us. But he has the best thing that is for us in our life because he is a life giver. He has given us the gift of life. And that is what it is. And so we want to talk a little bit further today. Last week we talked about our regrets. And how do we deal with our regrets and what the Bible talks about regrets. And we talked about that last week. And today we want to focus on our resentment that we can build in our life and what happens because of that. It's a reality in our life, the resentment that we can build within ourselves, within our heart, within our life. And that can cause a lot of devastation in our life. That can break down our life, and that can cause a lot of pain in our life. You know, the Bible says that we cannot ignore resentment because it will hurt us. You know, it hurts, the resentment, if we do that. Why we should not ignore? Because if you ignore resentment, it will bring a lot of pain in our life, a lot of hurt in our life. It ultimately turns into the hateful heart. And it spews hate from, from our heart, from our life. That is how the resentment, if we keep letting it build in our life, that is what happened. You know, resentment is holding onto the hurt that we are experiencing. We do not want to let that hurt go. We want to keep holding on to that hurt, and then that hurt turns into the hate. That is what resentment is all about. And, you know, there are examples of resentment people have experienced in the Bible. And there is no greater example. One of the examples in the Bible is the life of Job. And many times we have looked at life of Job as if, you know, as a life that Job has suffered a lot. And that is the truth. But Job has experienced a lot of resentment in his life, and when we read some of the you know, the book of Job, and when try to understand, we find out about that. You know, if there is any person that who has the right to be a bitter in their life, to be a resentful in his life, that is Job. You know, we need to understand his background. Why do I say that? Is because Job was a very wealthy person. He was just, everything was just amazing in his life. And everything was going for him, and everything was just, you know, his business was amazing. You know, he was wealthy. He was probably like, you know, Bill Gates or Elon Musk or some of these rich people in this world. He was like that, and he had everything going, you know, in his life. God has blessed him, you know, a lot of things, and he was blessed from all aspects of his life. And all of a sudden, Job loses everything. All his kids are killed, all his wealth is gone, and everything is lost in his life. And you got problems, and he has problems after problems in his life, to the point that he is a sick person. You know, he is suffering health-wise as well. And he's like, you know, just sitting there all by himself, and he has lost everything. And if you come from that place to this place as a human feeling, as a human heart, you're going to feel bad about it. It's just not, you know, feeling bad about it is a very lightly put, you know, word. But it is, you know, he started feeling resentful. He started to kind of feel a little bit upset, not a little bit, a lot upset in his life. You know, he has his wife remaining alive, and he has his three friends kind of hanging around with him, kind of, you know, there, and that's about it. But his wife also is not supportive to him in this thing. He is kind of telling him that she has given up on Job. And she says, you know, man, Job, just, you know, curse God and die. And Job's, you know, Job is kind of in that situation. You know, he feels that it is his fault, and you know, she says, just admit it and just let's just move on. You know, probably it's better for you to die. And, you know, Joseph experiences a lot of grief in his life as well. Job, I'm talking about, in Job chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, you know, Job shares his grief. And he says, if my anguish could be weighed and all my miseries were placed on scale, it would surely weigh the sand of the seas. And he's explaining that how much weight he has upon his life. That he says, all the sand, if I collect and I put it on my shoulder, it feels that heavy. And that is how he's feeling. And then in chapter 9, verse 18, Job is talking about God, and he says, he has filled me with a bitter sorrow. And so there is a lot of sorrow, and he expresses that. And he says, it seems like God has filled my life with bitter sorrow. And then he's trying to reason that, and he's bitter and was resentful in his life, and it's very evident that he was in that place of resentfulness and bitterness building up in his life. You know, and we are going to kind of look at Job's life about understanding resentment. And, you know, as we are talking about, life brings a lot of hurt, but God brings healing. And how that process happened in Job's lives and how it can happen in our lives, we are going to just kind of look at it today for a few minutes. There are three things we want to look at this morning. Is first thing is the causes of resentment. And we are not going to look all of the causes, but few important causes, the common causes of resentment. And then we want to look at if we don't do anything about it, and if we let resentment keep building in our life, what happens to us? You know, the consequences of resentment. And then how do we cure the resentment? Let's try to understand this. So first, let's try to understand not all of it, but few of the causes of resentment. Is the first thing is what people say about us, or what we think people are saying about us. Sometimes, you know, people are saying things about us, the words that they use, or they're saying things, and that hurts us. But sometimes we imagine what people are saying, and the reality is not that, and that imagination is in our mind, and we think, oh, they're probably saying this, they're probably doing this, and we keep hurting ourselves based on imaginations sometimes. But many times people do say bad things and do use the words in a such a way that bring a lot of hurt in our life. And that is a cause of building resentment. You know, look at what Job says to his friends, so-called three friends who are around him. And we find that in chapter 12, Job chapter 12, verse 5. And he says, men of ease have contempt for misfortune. They don't even understand the fate of those whose feet are slipping. It's kind of very fancy language, but what he's saying is, man, it is your friends, you three friends of mine, it is easy for you to talk. It is, I'm in a misery, I'm in such a difficult situation, and it is not going good for you, and you can just stand there, you're not in that situation, and you're talking a lot of things about me. You know, I'm in trouble, and you're kind of judging and analyzing my trouble, And that is what is kind of going on. And you know, they are kind of blaming Job that because of your sin, because you have done something wrong, you are in this situation. And they are just kind of pointing fingers at him. And in that situation, where Job is in that really miserable situation, the friends are just kind of breaking him down more and causing a lot of hurt in his life. And that is the situation. And so, these so-called friends are not helping him. You know, many times we have, you know, said this phrase, and you have heard this phrase maybe when you were growing up or in a grade school, and the phrase is, sticks and stones may break your bone, but words will never hurt me. You know, you probably heard that. That is not true. Words do hurt people. The way kind of the things, and that was the same situation for Job. As his friends, as his wife is talking to him, speaking to him, and saying all sorts of him, it was very hurtful for him. And, you know, and the Bible says in Proverbs 12, 18, thoughtless words wound just as deeply as sword. As if the sword will pierce you. That is the power of the words. And so that is one of the cause when people speak, and people speak mindlessly and use the words in our life, that can cause a lot of hurt in our life. And then if you hold on to that, it builds up in our life, and it turns into the resentment, and it just kind of causes a lot of pain in our life. Job went through that. We go through that. That's the reality of life. But we don't have to stay there. Let's look at the other cause, you know, what people think about us can bring a lot of pain in our life. A lot of resentment can build in our life. You know, people can cause pain in our life without saying the words. They can behave in such a way, and maybe you're in that situation, or you're doing yourself to other people. And so it's a both ways, you know, the body language or facial expressions or silent things that we can do. We can, you know, communicate a lot of message to people. You know, we can turn around somebody and just ignore somebody and just be, you know, just be snobbish to somebody and just give this very clear and loud message, which is more powerful than the words can speak, that I don't like you, I'm better than you, I don't want to speak to you, and you know, whatever the situation is, people can communicate that message clearly to people, and that can cause a hurt in people's life. You know, emotionally, that can be devastating, not only to people who do that, but for other people. So it is this perfect situation which is filled with toxicity and just kind of, you know, just kind of keeps building in everybody's life. You know, Job 12, 3 and 4, he says to them, "You think you are better than I am, and you regard my troubles as a proof of my guilt." So he's addressing this to his wife and his friends, and they say, "You think that, you know, I'm guilty." And without saying too many things, you're just kind of communicating this to me, that I'm here in this place because I have done something terribly wrong. You know, friends, the way to hurt people is simply ignore them and just not build a relationship, just build a wall against them. And you can feel that very clearly, that that can happen and that can cause a lot of pain and trouble in everybody's life. You know, people, as a general rule, like to be appreciated, loved, wanted. People, we are made as a social, you know, beings, and we want to build relationships. And when these things happen, it brings a lot of hurt and pain, and it just starts building a resentment. You know, so many things can go wrong about that. But the thing about that is this: many times this happens to the people whom we care about the most. And we start showing the resentment towards them, the spouse or the friend or a relatives or a neighbors, and it just doesn't go anywhere when we start behaving like that. And so that is another cause of resentment. And then the third cause of resentment is what people do to us, or what you do to people, either ways. And that can cause a lot of hurt. You know, Job experienced this. In Job 19 and verse 19, it says, "Those I have loved the most have turned against me. My intimate friends detest me." Those who I have loved the most have turned against me. And just notice the word, those who Job loved the most, you know, cared about, and those are the people who have brought a lot of hurt into his life and a lot of pain into his life. You know, it is the law of life. And the law of life is this: we are almost always resentful towards people we deeply care about. Almost, not always, but almost, if we care about, those are the folks we want to be, you know, nasty to, and you know, we are resentful, and because that's how it happens. One of the things make resentment so painful in life is that people we are usually mad at are the very people we care about and we love, and that is how it goes. You know, it happens most commonly in the family, a close friends, a spouse, or the relatives whom you care about, we try to express the most negativity on them. Maybe you are experiencing that, or maybe you're doing that. You know, as we kind of talk about that, just let's all evaluate our life together about that. That have I done that to somebody? Or maybe somebody has done that to you and has caused a lot of pain in our life. You know, it is like trying to love our parents who have abused, or trying to, you know, care and love about our brother or sister in our family who misunderstands you. And, you know, there are strained relationship, and it is a strange mixture of love and hate, and it is just kind of complicated things just kind of keep going on in our life. And that is the description of some of the things that can happen in our life as we live our life. And so these are some of the causes of resentment that can build in our life. These are not all the causes. There are a lot many, but these are some common causes of resentment that can build. What people do, what people speak about us, what people think about us, how people behave around us, and all these things can just cause lots of toxicity, lots of pain, and it's just kind of not good for anybody. Within our family, within our community, within our workplace, nowhere it is good for us. But there are consequences of resentment. It is not that happens, so we must just kind of live in that state of resentment, because it's very painful. It can break us down, and it can just kind of kill us literally, emotionally, and it just kind of causes a lot of things. And let's look at some of the consequences of resentment. And one of the things is that resentment makes us very unreasonable. You know, people who have built up resentment, and sometimes they do not know how they behave, how they show up, how they speak, how they, do that. Maybe we are one of them, or you know somebody who is filled with resentment, and we show up different ways, it makes us very unreasonable. It is illogical. It is irrational behavior comes out of that, all that kind of a thing. And listen to the Good News Bible, the Word of God, what it says. It is not my idea when I say this, but the Word of God is very clear about these things. And Job 5 and 2 talks about this, and it says, resentment is a foolish, senseless thing to do. Let me read that again. Resentment is a foolish and senseless thing to do. God says it is senseless. It is a waste of time. It is a foolish thing to be resentful and to be bitter. You know, the Word of God says that. You know, we are not ignoring the fact that we can find ourselves in that resentful situation, but the Bible says, let's not stay there. It makes us senseless. It is not very useful for you. It makes our behavior very unreasonable, illogical, childish, and very irrational. And the Bible talks about that. It is senseless. It's a foolish. And it is foolish, you know, why? Because resentment does not work. You know, if we keep building resentment in our life, and if we keep building that pain and what people have said, what people have thought about us, what people are doing, you know, of course that affects us, and we take it in and we start building up and we start building up and we start piling up that resentment layer after layer after layer, and we just kind of stay in that state. It is not very helpful. It is unreasonable for us. It makes our life very, you know, very, very painful. You know, it is like the example of this is, it is like, you know, driving down the street with your eyes constantly on a rear view mirror. You're not looking forward into your future. You're not staying in the present, so to speak, but you're constantly watching in your rearview mirror. This is what happened. This is what people said. This is what happened in my past. Or this is what I'm worried about, the past. The past is gone. It is gone. You cannot do about this. But in a way, we are holding on to that. 5.5 years ago, this is what this person said to me, that was very hurtful, and I want to just keep holding on to that and holding on to that. And if we hold on so tight to that as if it is such a valuable, important thing, and we embrace that in our life to the extent that it starts hurting us so much. It starts building up the resentment in our life, and we are constantly looking in the rearview mirror. We are constantly living in the past. We are just saying this happened and that happens, and we repeat that, and we repeat that, and we repeat that within ourselves. We repeat that to our, you know, to everywhere, and it just kind of keeps breaking us down. It causes people to do irrational things. It causes people to behave in a childish way and an irrational way. And Bible really talks about that. You know, Psalm 106 and 33, one of the ways the behavior comes out is, you know, that verse really talks about Moses' behavior, and he was so frustrated in his life, and he lashed out in anger. And there was no rhyme and reason for that anger. It was not a holy anger, but he just kind of said a lot of things. And that description is found in that scripture. And it was not good for Moses to behave that way. It is a result of built-up resentment in our life. You know, friends, we have never lashed out in our life, right? And said a lot of things which are irrational, which are not supposed to be said. And many times we think, you know, I will be the first one to admit that many times I have done that. And I feel really, very small and very stupid at times, that why did I even say that? In the heat of the moment, because your heart is painful and you say certain things and you lash out to people sometimes, and that is not good. It is childish. It just kind of makes you look foolish, and it is unreasonable. That is what happens when you keep building your resentment. This is also another consequences of resentment. It is not helpful at all. You know, the Job learned that from his experience. Resentment is not helpful. It does not help anybody. It does not help you. It does not help people around you. It does not help your family, your spouse, your friends, your workplace. It does not help anybody. You know, Job chapter 18 verse 4, it says, Job, you know, his friends are saying to him, Job, you tear yourself to pieces in your anger. There's something sensible his friends are saying. Not everything they are saying is wrong, but they're saying, you're tearing you apart, man, in your anger, in your resentment, and it is not good for you. You're destroying yourself. You know, bitterness just isn't worth the cost. You know, resentment, bitterness, it will tear us down into the pieces, and it will keep our heart in a miserable state all the time, because we are constantly miserable and that resentment is building. You know, the resentment is the emotional, it's kind of an emotional suicide. It is slow, but it is constantly destroying us day by day. And it is eating us up, and it is eating us up, and we are just living in that. So it is not helpful at all. It is not helpful to us. It is not helpful to our soul. It is not helpful to anybody. The other thing is, resentment is very unhealthy. It does not help. It just, you know, brings the worst behavior out of us. It is unhealthy to everybody. And let's read Job 21 and 23. It says, one man dies. You know, it's such a description that this verse kind of puts out there. It is about the death of people, and it gives the two categories. And it says, one man dies in full vigor, completely secure and at ease. They're ready to face their maker. They're at peace, and they are just calm, and the peace of God is in their life. And the verse 25 says, another man dies in a bitterness of soul. I have seen both of these people. I have seen a lot of deaths, you know. I have stood, when people are dying, and you can just feel the room when they're taking their last breath, when they have the peace. And it is just a joyful, though it's a sad thing, but in a sense, it is a joyful moment that the presence of God is there, and their life is, their heart is at peace, at ease, and they are just kind of the unity of God, you know, God himself and the soul is happening, and it is just amazing. And I have seen people who are bitter, full of resentment, and they are dying. It is not a pretty sight to be present there. You can literally feel that. And the question is, do you want to be in that state? To be resentful, full of anger in your life, and anything can happen to us, and there is no guarantee that we will see tomorrow. The death can come to anybody, anytime. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the medical doctors have come to conclusion that there is a very close connection between our physical health and emotional health. So when we build that resentment, it just starts to show up in our physical health as well. It is not only our emotional health is destroyed, not only our spiritual health is destroyed, but our physical health gets destroyed as well, because we just are not ready to let it go. We are not ready to let it go. Job 5:2 says, Bible says, resentment kills. It literally kills our emotional sense, our spiritual relationship with God and others, and our physical health as well is affected, because we want to hold it on. So let me ask you this morning, in your life, is there anything this morning that is eating you up? It's constantly eating you up. And it is eating you up, and you're not ready to let it go. You're just kind of stuck there. You're looking into the rearview mirror, and you are just stuck in that past, and that is just kind of bothering you, eating you up and eating you up and eating you up. And those circumstances are out of your control. Nothing you can do about that. It is past and it is gone, but you're holding on to that. You know, friends, life hurts. We don't want to say those are not the realities. Those are realities, and that hurts, but God can heal you. God is saying, let's get rid of that. Move forward. You know, just move forward, because it's not helpful. It is an unhealthy thing. God is able to bring healing to our life in that situation. So you're going to ask today, so how are we going to deal with my bitterness, my resentment, my hurt, my anger that has built to an extent that I'm resentful? I'm so, you know, it just kind of is building up now in my life. What can you do? The first thing, the cures, and there are a couple of things I want to talk to all of us today. And the first thing is, let's reveal or disclose your resentment. It is important. If we keep, you know, moving that under the rug and just keeping it there and just keep building it within ourselves, it is not going to help us. We got to just simply admit it. We got to accept the fact that you are resentful. I am resentful. That is the first step that we have to say to ourselves, that I am in that state of resentful. You cannot have that built up resentment in your life, which shows in your behavior, which shows in your conversations, and everywhere you go, that is just kind of spread around. And you're hurting, but you're not ready to accept that I'm resentful. The first step is we have to accept. We have to admit that we are resentful, be honest, and not only accept that, but tell God about it. God wants to hear our pain. God wants to hear what situation we are going through. He's there for us, and He's longing to hear that from us. And just say the words, God, I hurt so deeply. And God, it's not fair. I'm going through this situation. And God, I need your help. We got to say that thing out loud to God and express it, disclose it, reveal it to God. You know, that's exactly Job did. When he found himself in that painful situation, in resentful situation, in very upsetting, deep-rooted things that are going on in his life, he just simply expressed it, disclosed it. He admitted that that is his situation and disclosed it. Let me simply read some of the disclosures that Job did. And there are a few verses. They're listed in your outline too, which you have. And I may not read all of that, but some of it is this. You know, Job chapter 7, verse 11, Job says, he says, no, I cannot be quiet anymore. I cannot be keep building this thing up. I am angry and I'm bitter and I want to speak about it. It's very clear. He says, man, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm not in a good place emotionally, and I want to speak about it. And then he speaks to God in verse 10 and 2, and he says, listen to my bitter complaint, O God, don't condemn me. I don't know where to go. I just want to express my whole this bitterness to you, and I just want to talk it out to you, O God. And let's get together with God in the quietness, or if you have a friend, get together with a spiritually stable friend and get together, speak to them in confidence if you need to, and start expressing what is going on within your soul. That bitterness has to come out. You know, chapter 7, verse 12, it says, why do you put me under guard, O God? And he's expressing all this. I lie down, I try to rest, and I look for relief from the pain, but you terrify me with the dreams. You send me nightmares. And he's describing his state of what he's going through, his misery. And he's expressing to God, and I would rather be strangled than live in the miserable body. And that is what Job is saying. It's so miserable, O God. I feel entangled, and I give up, oh God. I try to live, but it is not happening, and this is my state, and I want you to know, God. God already knows this. You know, God already knows that, and God understands, you know, before you do, and God understood Job as he was speaking to him, because he knows everything, but God wants to hear that from us. And we are in that situation when we express that, when we speak it out, it is a great process to help us that we are speaking out to God and bringing before Him all that bitterness, all that pain, all that resentment that is just kind of piling up within our soul, within our heart. And as we disclose it, God understood Job. Today, God understands you and me. As we express our resentment to Him as it is, in a raw form, let it go. God is not going to be surprised. God is not going to sit there and say, oh, I didn't know you're going through that. I'm really surprised that your heart is filled with that, because God already knows. And when we speak, we commune with God, and there is an opportunity for God and us to kind of do the work together. You know, we have three options in our lives as far as resentment is considered. It is, you can repress it. You can suppress it in your life. And many of us choose that first option. We want to hide it. We want to just keep piling up in our soul and in our heart. And that is not going to help us. It is going to just keep destroying us more and more. You know, we can express it negatively. And we know, you know, we can just be nasty to people. We can be just kind of, you know, express it very negatively. We can get even with people. We can take, we can decide to take revenge for people because what he said, what he did, or what she said, what he did or not do, or all those kinds of things. And we don't have time to get even. It is just going to get worse, complicate things more. Or we can confess it to God. And we can confess it to people whom we trust and who can lead us to a more maturity. Just confess it, that this is the situation. I cannot no longer just live like that. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another and so that you may be healed. And you can confess that to God. Admit it, confess it. You know, here is the life, you know, the law of life. Revealing, disclosing your feelings is the beginning of your healing process. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. But not only that, we got to release our offender. Who is our offender? You know, identify who that offender is in the past. 15 years ago, somebody has done something and has it's still bothering me. Or, you know, that is the situation that has occurred, which nobody had control over sometimes. And it's bothering me. And it is just making me angry. It is piling up in my heart. And it is driving me towards resentment and hate. And I hate everything. And, you know, identify what that is. You know, look at Job 42 and 10. The Bible says, after Job prayed for the three friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. You know, you got to release your offender. In this case, for Job, the offender were his wife and his friends. And they were offending him, and that resentment was building, and Job prayed for them. And what happened? Not when Job got even with them or tried to get at them or, you know, just say, I'm going to teach you a lesson because what you have said to me, none of that. Job just prayed for them, just forgave them, just released that offenders to God's hand. And what was the result? God made him prosperous twice as much as he had. Today, if you are in that situation, whatever is holding you back, doesn't matter what it is in the past, and that is bothering you, and we got to just leave it, really release that to God, and pray about it, and God, just take it away from me, because I cannot change. How much ever we want to do that, I cannot change that past. That has happened. We have to leave that thing back, and you can just come clean before God and say, God, I want to release that to you. That situation, that offender, if there are people, I want to release that. You know, Luke chapter 6, 27, Jesus put it like this, love your enemies, do good to those who do harm to you. You know, we have no control over people. What people will say, what people will do, how they will behave. We can only do what we can do. We do not want to hold on to people's evilness if they have done evil things to you. You got to release them to God. And let God do the work in your life. Here is the reality. Hurt people only hurt other people. And so the result of hurt, result of resentment, or all that pain that is in our lives, if we don't deal with that, it's not only going to hurt you, destroy you, but it is going to hurt other people, starting with your loved ones first. And then it keeps spreading around, and that is what it keeps spreading and keeps spreading. It's not worth it. It is not worth it, so let it release it to God and let God take care of that. God is not dead. The reality, in few weeks, we will be celebrating Easter Sunday. It is a reminder for all of us that God is alive, and He died for us on the cross, and He took all our sins, and He took all our real life situations, and He died for us on the cross. And today, as we live here, He's a very practical God. Take time. Take time in your life. Spend time with God with raw emotions, whatever you're going through. And spend time, read the Word of God and tell Him, God, this is my struggle. And read the Word of God, and God is going to point you out to those scripture passages where they are just for your situations. And speak to Him and have conversation with God and see what happens. It is going to be amazing. He's going to show you the path. He's going to show you the way. He's going to start bringing healing to your life. Get together with the friends and express it and release those things that you're holding on so tightly. It is not worth it. You are, and we are, holding on to the toxicity if we are holding on and having the resentment heart. So let's give it to God today. Let's bow down today and pray. And if there is somebody who is in that situation, let's pray together. And you can pray right now as we are praying together about the state of our heart today. Father in heaven, we come before you, O Father, and we are so grateful to you for who you are, O Father God. We are not worshiping or talking about imaginary God, a God who does the real things in our lives, God who is a living God, and God who has created everything in this world, including us, my life. You understand our feelings. You understand my bitterness, O God. You understand the resentment that I'm going through, O Father God. You understand the situation that I am resentful about. You understand the people who have hurt me. You understand every situation in my life, O Father God. Nothing is hidden from you. We want to express that to you. We are seeking for help from you, O God, in my life. O Father, bring that freedom within my soul, O God. This is our prayer today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. In a little bit after the song, we're going to do the baptism. So hang around, and it's going to be a great time of celebration. Thank you. ready. We are going to have a baptism today. So Chip, you want to come? Bob, you want to come ahead here too? That'll be great. Was that? Yes, please. He'll be here. So the story, come on up, brother. So Chip, what is your other name?
Gary.
Gary. And so we love to call him Chip, though, all the time. And
okay.
Yeah.
So I tried to name him.
That's amazing. So his story is just amazing, that he accepted Lord as his Savior right here when we were having a men's breakfast one Saturday. And the speaker was there, and he says, yes, I want to receive Jesus in my heart. And it was a few years ago, and he did, and he said, you know, we should have baptized you then, but it's okay, it's never too late. And we do that, and Chip, you know, he volunteers at Frontline, just amazing. And anything anybody wants to say? And reason Bob and Murray and Matthew are here because, you know, they work together during the week together, serving our community through Frontline, and Chip is a big part of that. So, yeah, that's great. So, no, there are toddlers there. That's okay. Yeah. So let's go ahead. Matthew is going to baptize you, Chip. You want to take your shoes off? Yeah. And your socks off too. That'll be great, so that they won't be wet. Yeah, you want to sit here. That's okay. Yeah, sit down. Cold? It is cold, are we?
It won't take too long.
Yeah. So, Chip, I want to ask you a really quick question. The question is this. You know that you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes. And you know he saves you from your sins, so that's great. So let's do this. Yeah.
Way to go.
Come on up.
Lord, we just come on before up, you again today, Lord. We just bring in another one of your children to you, Lord. He's been wanting to come to come you on. For some time now. And Lord, we just pray you accept him with the same love that you show everybody else, Lord. And Lord, just watch over him and keep him safe, Lord. And help us all to help him, Lord, to become a better child of yours, Lord, so that that when a day comes for him to be there, Lord, that you can say to him that you are happy and pleased with your child, Lord. And so we just ask that you bless him, Lord, you follow him through his life, and that you just be with him always, Lord, and use us, Lord, to help him through this world, Lord, if you call us. We thank you in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our true friend. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on up this way. This way. There are steps here. Oh, okay. Okay. That's good. I'll just stay there for a little bit. Yeah. That's good. Thank you. Brother Travis, come on up. Praise God. Thank you. Come on up if you want to stand here. Is that okay? I mean, it's up to you. Come on up there. And come, brother, just stand here. a little bit before you go into the water. You know, Travis is a good friend. Is Phoebe here? Phoebe, come on up. Come on up, Phoebe. So Phoebe, tell me about your friend here in your school, right? Yeah. So Phoebe is here because Phoebe invited her friend from her class. And so that's how we connected with Travis and the family. And I'm just going to take a liberty to tell a little bit about Travis, not too much, but a little bit. And we kind of met, and Travis says, man, I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm tired of my life, old life, which is not worth it, isn't it, Travis? It's not worth it. I want to live in freedom, and Jesus can bring me that freedom. That's the reality. And he says, I want to walk in the path of Jesus. And, you know, it's going to be rough because we are human beings and we are going to learn things. And Travis realizes that it's not going to be all perfect, but he has decided to walk that path. And that is the reason today Travis is getting baptized. So Travis, you know that Jesus forgave your sins, correct? Right. And he saves you, and he's there to help you every juncture of your life. And so he wants to make this witness that he's a child of God, and he's a child of Jesus Christ, that he saves his sins. And so we're going to baptize you. Just come on up here. Up here, if you will sit down. So, Travis, this is a great moment that you will never forget in your life, that you are making a witness in front of God's people that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to baptize you in the name of Father, in the name of Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, Travis. All the way back. Praise God. Double. Travis here. So let's pray. Phoebe, do you want to, are you up to praying for Travis? No? So Phoebe said he will pray, but I'll pray for Travis today and just face this side and we'll just kind of... Father in heaven, we are so grateful for Travis today and his life. It is not the perfect life, oh Father God, that we all live. We fall, we make a lot of mistakes in our lives. All of us have done that. But oh Father, you came into this world to all of us. Doesn't matter what we have done. You love us so deeply, and you love Travis so much, his family, his kids. And he wants to invest in his family's lives, in his kids' life, so that they can have a better life in their life, oh God. And the start of it is your fear and your path and your ways, oh Father God. And we are so grateful. We pray for Travis that let your hand of protection be upon him. Watch over him, his family, oh God. There will be situations where he has to make decisions. Help him, oh God, to flee away from the decisions that are not good for him, good for his children, good for his family. But with you, he can make those decisions, right decision. And oh God, that you will give him the strength that he needs in his life, oh Father. Help us as a church to kind of help him to move forward in a positive direction, oh God. We know you have your hand of protection upon him and your blessings upon him. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother.